WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. UVA's police chief resigns after just over a year on the job. Virginia's health department confirms the state's first vaping death. And senior managers working to clear munitions and landmines from their home countries gather to share their experiences and to learn more at JMU. This is the WMRA Daily for Wednesday, October 2nd. The University of Virginia's police chief has resigned after just over a year on the job. Tommy Sutton was placed on paid leave during the first week of September. He resigned last Friday. The university has not said why he was placed on leave or what prompted his resignation. UVA says Sutton has been replaced in the interim by former Charlottesville police chief Tim Longo. Longo is expected to serve for about a year. The Virginia Department of Health has just confirmed the first death of a Virginia resident due to the use of e-cigarettes or vaping. Charles Fishburne from VPM News reports.
VDH says the death was reported last week by a North Carolina hospital.
I can tell you that the person was an adult from the southwest region of our state.
Dr. Lillian Peek, Virginia Department of Health.
So this case is associated with a multi-state outbreak. You know, there have been over 800 cases.
13 of them have been fatal.
And we don't know the specific cause of these injuries. The information at this time does point to some type of chemical exposure. It does not look like an infectious disease.
Purchasing vaping material is illegal under the age of 21, but she says 87% of Virginia's cases have been among the ages 18 to 34, and there have been cases in every region of the state.
So right now, you know, based on that information, the safest option is not vaping.
The McGuire VA Medical Center in Charlottesville has just unveiled a simulation center that allows hospital employees to practice their skills on a high-tech mannequin that can duplicate almost any human ailment. And Charles Fishburne has that story.
So we can make him cough. We have moaning sounds. Vomiting sounds.
Jonathan Wynn is programming one of the high-tech mannequins at McGuire they will use to teach everybody to improve their skills.
Physicians, nurses.
Dr. Michael Chikailo, medical director for the simulation center.
All the trainees, so fellows, residents, student nurses.
Even the cleaning crews.
Healthcare is probably the last industry to adopt this.
And just as airline pilots learn on simulators, healthcare professionals at McGuire are getting to know patient care thoroughly and safely.
I've had the pain for a couple of hours now.
Okay, so let me tell you.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
In some parts of Virginia last month, it was the driest September on record. Virginia Public Radio's Mallory Nopain reports that if the dry spell continues, it could mean a big hit to the bottom line for many farmers around the state.
Everything is bone dry.
Steve Gallmeyer owns a farm outside Richmond. He grabs an ear of corn off the stalk.
That's never going to fill. The base of it filled, the ear is small.
Do you think you'll get anything out of these guys?
No, not unless it rains. No.
Gallmeyer, who also has a pick-your-own pumpkin patch, can absorb the hit. But if he only had corn, he says it would be a disaster. As October begins, almost all of Virginia is abnormally dry. And according to the Department of Agriculture, much of the state is experiencing moderate drought.
Yes, we're at a critical point if we don't get some rain and get it soon.
Elaine Lidholm with the Virginia Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services says one of the hardest hit crops has been hay. More than half of the state's hay crop is currently classified as being in poor or very poor condition.
And most people go, we don't eat hay, who cares? Well, if you eat anything that eats hay, then there's a problem.
For instance, beef farmers will be feeling the effects of the drought this winter when they run out of hay and have to sell their cows early at a low price. In Richmond, I'm Mallory Nopain.
Car title lenders and internet lenders have stepped up their campaign contributions in recent years. So far this election cycle, the industry has given about $840,000, and more campaign cash may be on the way before Election Day. Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope explains why.
Will the next General Assembly crack down on internet lenders who operate outside the reach of state regulators? Or will car title lenders face new scrutiny of their business model, which allows for 300% interest rates in Virginia while neighboring states are capped at 36%? Bob Denton at Virginia Tech says that's why businesses in this industry are spreading their money around this year.
There's no question that special interest money is given to people, not so much to bribe them in terms of their vote, but they're certainly going to support candidates who have been sympathetic to their industry or their positions or their policies in the past.
Internet lenders are giving more this year than in previous years, although car title lender LoanMax is the most generous. Financial disclosure records posted to the Virginia Public Access Project show the Georgia-based company gave about $250,000 this election cycle.
Car title loans are a huge business in Virginia.
That's Stephen Farnsworth at the University of Mary Washington.
You're talking about a relatively vulnerable population, and that environment is the kind of place where Democrats might be ready to legislate.
Car title lenders, internet lenders, and other kinds of businesses that offer high-interest loans contribute to Democrats and Republicans, especially ones who sit on committees that oversee their industry. I'm Michael Pope.
Finally today, 19 students from around the world have been gathering at James Madison University over the last couple of weeks for an advanced course in clearing landmines and other weapons from post-conflict areas. WMRA's Randy B. Hagee reports.
The senior manager's course began at JMU in 2004 when the Center for International Stabilization and Recovery, or CISR, won a contract from the United Nations Development Program. When that contract expired in 2010, the U.S. State Department picked up sponsorship of the course. Since 2004, 300 senior managers from all over the world have attended.
They either work for their national mine action programs directly, so they're with a government or a quasi-governmental organization that is in charge of mine action for that country.
Suzanne Federline is the associate director of CISR.
Or they're with what we would call an implementing partner. So they work in partnership with the national governments in these various countries to help them remove landmines or cluster munitions or work on ammunition destruction and weapon stockpile destruction.
Four of the course participants gave presentations and answered questions about their home countries at JMU last Wednesday evening. One of the challenges that many of the senior managers face is that conflict is ongoing in their homeland. Luke Sambu works across West Africa as the Armed Violence Reduction Coordinator for the organization Humanity and Inclusion. Sambu says they help local residents to find and disarm weapons because the national governments may be unequipped to lend assistance.
Every time we finish a job in a locality, we organize a ceremony to release the land, give instruction in case that this population found one dangerous item after our job, how to report it, and to keep getting in contact with this population to know how they use released land.
Sambu worked in music production for several years, but when a conflict recovery position opened up in his hometown in Senegal, he switched careers.
It's rewarding to see that life resuming in some community and in some locality due to the job we've done there. And it's a great moment of gratitude.
Many of these places are agricultural areas, so returning cleared land to local citizens is not just about physical safety, but also enabling local farmers to make a livelihood. Tamana Ahmadzai is the communication officer for the Directorate of Mine Action and Coordination Center in Afghanistan. During her presentation, she showed a video clip from the directorate in which you can hear explosions and the sound of a mine detection device.
Forty years of conflict and instability in Afghanistan have left in their wake a legacy of landmines and explosive remnants of war, frequently putting in danger the lives of civilians.
Ahmadzai's job is most rewarding when she's writing reports about land that's newly cleared of explosives.
My operation team told me that we cleared this province of Afghanistan, so now we are announcing the mine-free province. So writing these words is, for me, it makes me excited.
Within the senior manager's course, students can take a variety of sessions, from business management to lectures from European instructors, about the residual work to neutralize weapons that are left over from conflicts that took place decades earlier. Hoon Van Phan hails from such a place.
Vietnam.
Guangxi was the most contaminated with the landmines since the wartime.
Phan is the information management advisor and database unit manager for the organization Norwegian People's Aid in Vietnam. He was born and raised in the Quang Chi province, where they hope to be clear of leftover cluster munitions by 2025. Phan hopes that then his home will be recognized for more than just its legacy of war.
Our province, yes, the people are so friendly. I think that my province has a power to recover from the devastation of the war. And during the war time, it was devastated and it was totally destroyed. But now it looks different. And I think that if the American veterans, they have a chance to visit Guangxi, and they will be surprised how it changed.
Phan, like many of the participants, heard about this course from colleagues who had taken it in the past. He's hoping it will increase his effectiveness in the field of mine action.
Now I'm a technical advisor, the information management advisor, but I'm something like the local Vietnamese expert. So if I gone through this course, and then maybe it's very good for the future. Maybe I can have some kind of management position in the future.
For WMRA News, I'm Randy B. Hagee.
Learn more about that story at WMRA.org and on the WMRA app. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Wednesday.